If you went to Azusa, you were there with us, would you come up here? Or with and we have a couple of students that were there. You guys are welcome to come up too. Come on up. I know you guys were there. You're technically with us. We were in the same place, so we were there. Yeah, thank you. So I know some of the people that are walking up here, I may be surprising them, and so I'm going to give them some time, and we're just going to jump around and let them share. But I want to speak to you guys for a second, so I'm going to stand this way. All right. Team, I know, it's tough being up there, huh? So you guys, this is what we're looking for. I know I kind of explained this to some of you, but I'm going to throw it out there again. Because there's so many people here, we've got to kind of stay on as much track as we can. Okay? So we want to stay on track. This is what we're looking for. We're looking for something that you are, and maybe even now it's just kind of come to you, which is totally fine. Or maybe you're not totally clear. But this is what we're focusing on. Something that you're choosing to bring home and to carry. Something that you're taking some ownership of that you experienced, whether it was an actual experience or whether it's just a revelation that God laid on you or whether you're just feeling like you have something, which is fine too. But there's something to this, that something that you're choosing and taking ownership of carrying that at the end of this service you want to share with the body in impartation. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to ask you, we're going to go as quick as we can. We don't have to, you don't have to rush. But keep it to a minimum. Focus more on what you're going to impart than why you're going to impart it. Does that make sense? So just believe us that if you tell us what happened, we'll just believe you. Don't give us all the information, but just tell us this is what I'm carrying. This is a little bit about why, and I'm excited. Does that make sense? Do we got everybody? Okay. Does anybody want to start? Come on. Bravery, I love it.
The nerves will get you if you have to wait. So, good morning. The big word I got through the whole thing was sobering. It was amazingly sobering. It was so powerful, but so quiet. And people were engaged for so many hours. And I knew there were people that were streaming it. It was something that you just could hang for hours and hours and hours. You know, it was just, and that to me was amazing. And I think that the idea of the sobering part was anything you heard, anything you saw, just remember that now it's different. Before this happened, there was struggles. And now the things that happened there, all the breakthroughs that happened, now you can step into it and take it. So if you were frustrated because something wasn't working, you've been praying about it for years, go back, look back at those things that you've been, you gave up, struggled, whatever, because there's breakthroughs now, and I believe that in the next years to come, we're going to live in it, but you have to take it. So take it. And thank you. Thank you to this man who shepherded us, as Jim said. It was amazing.
All right, so before we just, we don't just have to go down the line. Does anybody else feel like specifically breakthrough is something they brought home? Breakthrough. Perfect. Go ahead.
Before we left, earlier in that week, the Lord told me that I was going to experience something, and everything I was going to experience, actually all of us, was something, you know, that we were meant to bring back to this house. And one of my breakthroughs, I felt like, you know, you'll be talking to the Lord and you think you hear him and you go, was that him or was that me? But he's given me a clarity of his voice. And I feel like the Lord has said, don't question yourself because you're questioning me, but go ahead and be brave and speak it out. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I brought home, and I just give that to you.
Yeah, confidence, breakthrough, hearing the voice of God. Does anybody want a clearer ability to hear the voice of God? Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, me too.
Test. Works fine.
Test.
Anyway, one other thing, I came back, when we came back, I just started realizing, you know, it was almost like a kind of renewal for me. We were part of the Jesus movement too back in the 70s. And let me tell you, I feel like just being restored.
Yeah, restoration. We'll take that.
Yeah.
That's good to bring back to the house. Who else? We don't have to go in a line. If you feel like you're ready, go for it. If you're ready, go for it.
I'm ready, baby. Hello. Several things. A restoration in our youth. I mean, it just gets discouraging, our youth and what's going on with them, and just the whole, you know, pop generation, and just it's just so discouraging to me. And it was so uplifting to see so many youth there, you know, from being stuck in a traffic jam to have someone next to you that, you know, most of them are like 20 years old, just rocking in Jesus with the windows down. I'm going, okay, let's follow each other. This is really good. I'm loving this. To everybody there, and it was great. And to Barbara and I just walked around the whole place, revolution after revolution, just going top and bottom and all over. And it was just really fun to see the energy and see the people there and just to see all the love that was there. And talking about love, you know, I've got to give tremendous kudos to our shepherd, Cameron, because, you know, he was shepherding us, and I know he's our shepherd and our pastor, but, you know, he really stood out there. You know, he'd look around our group and make sure everybody was there. When we were in line, he showed up just, you know, we're in line, he's already in, and he figured out where we were, and, I mean, he just shepherded us through the whole thing. It was great. Just felt really, you know, looked after. And as far as this group, this was a really interesting group. Great group. Loved this group. It was really fun to hang out with them and get to know them, and just get to know, you know, what we have in this body. We have great things in this body. And lastly, driving down here, you know, we're getting K-Love station, just station after station that was all K-Love. And it just really revitalized my heart to, you know, listening to more Christian music. And it was just all the way down, all the way back. We rented a car with rock and stereo, and we're just rocking all the way down there and back. And it was just, and it's taken hold, you know. I mean, I always listen to Christian music, but more, you know, so that's taken hold. And I encourage people to do that and support K-Love, because it's a great, and, you know, coming back, listening to, you know, the Bethel team on K-Love a bunch. You know, it was just, so you got it there, and then you're in the car, and you still have it. It just didn't go away, and it's still not going away.
Yeah, I want to say one more thing, too, to add on to it. I want you guys to kind of get in the receiving mode, but also just remember, like, so we're going through, one of the things I just stuck out that Jim said is this renewed perspective of today's youth. Like, how many of us need that this hope for the youth? It's challenging to find sometimes. So hope for the youth. And so if there's something that as we're going down and people are saying that you're like, I want that thing, then hold on to it, because we won't know. And then we're gonna, you know, pray, and you're just going to get what you want. That's really what the idea is. So go for it.
So I got to stand up. I'm still rocking like Engel. Some of you will know what that means. 1971. Don't worry, I'm not going to. 1971 was the Jesus movement. Thanks, Sherry. I was 13, this big around, standing on the street corner on fire for Jesus, wearing the shirt. Jesus loves you one way. Fast forward to today. Well, last Sunday. Jesus loves you. What God gave me, there's way too much reconciliation, et cetera, et cetera. But what I want to give you is, how many of you were there during the Jesus movement? And we've lived a life, haven't we? And we've become very serious about our faith, haven't we? But I'm still that little girl, that little 13-year-old girl.
and I still love Jesus. And he says, never lose your passion. Don't let the world do that to you, people. Never lose your passion for your first love. And I know you've heard that before, but the world will do that to you, and the world does not have that right. Don't ever lose your passion, not only for the Lord Jesus Christ, but for each other. And that is what I want to impart back to you.
Gosh, I don't even know so much, but the main thing, I guess, when the days leading up, you know, just praying into the event and asking God, you know, what he wanted to do. The night before I got this picture, I was just seeing the stadium in my mind's eye with full of people. And I was like looking through God's eyes down at the stadium and just looking at his kids and just felt like the fondness that he had in his heart. And how much he just adored, like, he's like, look at my kids, they're in a little bowl, they're all together, like, you know, all excited. And so I saw this drop come down from heaven, just a giant drop that just landed in the stadium and splashed out all over the earth. And I just heard, just one drop is all it takes. Just one drop. And so at the event, I think one of the most important or, you know, impactful moments for me, Chris got up and called out, said, God is healing cancer. So if you have cancer, raise your hand. And this girl, maybe like, I don't know, 20 seats down in the same row as us, raised her hand. Young girl, like 20s, maybe late 20s. And the Lord said, go pray for her. Go, because at first I was just like, okay, I'm going to pray for her. The Lord said, go over there. So I went over there, and God just wrecked me for this girl. I mean, I just started crying and sobbing. And it was just this moment where, you know, you feel the Lord. You feel what he feels. And so, you know, she was down on the ground, and she's crying, and we're crying, and we kind of finished praying. And she stands up, and we just lock eyes, and we just hug. And we're just hugging for like a minute, and we're just crying and sobbing. And, you know, the Lord just reminded me that, like, his love, like, that is the love of God. Like, that is what changes everything. Like, that moment, there's nothing more powerful than his love. If we can just catch a piece of it, just a piece to let it flow in us and through us, that is what he's looking for, you know. And we cry out for like revival and signs and wonders and miracles. It's all for love, you know. And so for me, like, what he was speaking to me was like, do whatever it takes to get filled up with my love, you know, whether that's prayer, whether it's fasting, whether it's worship, whether it's community, whatever it might be, because love is the carriage that the Holy Spirit likes to ride in. Like, there's no other way to touch people. Like Heidi Baker says, when I pray for someone, I don't pray that they get healed. I don't think about healing. I just think about loving them. And so God wants to do that in us. He wants to release his love in the earth. And I believe that, you know, that is what revival looks like. Like, it's not going to be an event or a time or a moment. It's something he's releasing across the whole earth. And it's his love, it's his love, it's his love. So if we can get a hold of that, that's what I'm hanging on to.
So for me, I would say going to Azusa was mostly a recharge, just getting filled up and recharged. But there are two things that I really came back with that I want to share with you. One, just overwhelming thankfulness for, one, the time that we live in, and two, what we're a part of. Man, I tell you what, when Bill Johnson stood up there, the whole atmosphere changed. The faith level rose. Like, what we're a part of in our connection with Bethel, with Bill and Chris, and what they've paved the way for. Man, we're a part of that. This house is blessed. Like, you're a part of this church. You are blessed. Oh, man. So I just came away just so thankful for that. And then You know, I think we just need this from time to time, that we need, you know, we share testimonies from time to time. And the reason why we share testimonies is because it says, yes, God, do it again. Do it again. And it raises our faith level. It reminds us who God is and what His promises are. So, and I felt like that was, you know, Shanna and I, we went to Bethel. We served in, I served in the healing rooms at Bethel. And, but there's something so sweet about being reminded of what God's doing and the testimonies. There's so many testimonies that came back from Azusa. And I want to share a couple just because they were really personal. Well, one, while we were there, this isn't just something I saw someone say this. This isn't just on a video. This happened within our family, that while I'm there, our family gets a frantic text from Shanna's mom and says, Uncle Shad, Shanna's uncle who lives in Sacramento, was in a bike race. And he got tangled up with some other riders and he fell. And he's got really bad road rash. He's got a concussion. He's broke his shoulder, probably broke his clavicle as well. Please pray. And so we all just, you know, we're all across the country. Some in Hawaii, some in Colorado. We're all praying. And Shanna's sister is there in the stadium as well with her boyfriend and his family, and they're praying. But then we get another frantic text a very short time later. Okay, now we really need you to pray because they were just in a head-on collision on the way to the hospital. So someone crossed over the center lane and hit them head on. A mom with five kids. And Shanna's grandma was also sitting in the front seat and had moved closer to the airbag to give Uncle Shad more room in the back. So we began to intercede, and we were hearing all the worst possible news about people being trapped and just complete nervous breakdown, like grandma was just, her heart, she couldn't get her heart under control, and they were just saying everybody has multiple broken bones, everyone's at least alive right now. We're like, we're on it, we're praying. And then we begin to get reports, well, grandma just got released and she's fine. She's shaken up, but she's fine. Like, thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. We wait another half an hour. Okay, you guys need to get a hold of this. Uncle Shad, who before the accident already had a concussion and broken bones, they did a CT scan, they did x-rays, and there is nothing wrong with him. Raise your faith level. Raise your faith level. Then a friend of mine who I was so mad I didn't actually get to see him, but he was there. He was from Colorado. We used to do youth ministry together. And I found out when he was there, he had a broken leg 4 years ago, and then he broke his ankle a few months ago. And ever since both of those sports accidents, he's had pain consistently and very limited mobility. Well, in the event, as he was just walking around, when Bill got up on stage, he said, there's someone here who has a leg injury from sports, and God is healing you right now. Immediately, without anyone praying, his leg was completely healed. All mobility restored. This is what God does. Raise your faith level. And the cool thing is there are 2,000 plus students from BSSM, and you're going to hear some of them speak. Man, raise my faith level. You go on to a web page. If you're on Facebook, go on to Flood LA Azusa, and you're going to see some amazing testimonies, people getting out of their wheelchairs, and ears opened, eyes opened. I mean, the stuff of the Bible is going on today. Don't believe that it ended 2,000 years ago with Jesus and the apostles. It's going on today. And here's the greatest part. It's not just for the pastors, the apostles, the prophets. It is for the church. It is for the church. Raise your faith level. All right. Noah, what do you have that you want to share with everybody?
God's not dead.
God's not dead.
Just a minute. Let me keep up. Stop clapping. Okay, now I can hear you. He's alive.
He's alive.
He's a lion.
He is roaring like a lion. What does a lion sound like?
Wow.
Really? What does a lion sound like?
Okay. Man, I have been wrecked this week. It's been a good thing, but it's like this thing stirring my heart, so I'll share it. I'll probably cry through it. Bear with me. There was this moment on stage, and they brought Paul Kane up on stage, and he's in his 90s. When I was a little girl, I went to church with Paul Kane in Kansas City. He was one of the spiritual papas of my really early years, like 0 to 6. We left Kansas City, moved back to Montana, and in the mid-90s, late 90s, Paul Kane had a moral failure, lost his ministry. Basically, the church didn't know how to reconcile with him. And then he just kind of disappeared off the planet. And I hadn't seen or heard from Paul Kane until last Saturday. And at 90-some years old, they brought this man who the church hadn't known how to bring him back in the 80s and 90s. We didn't know how to restore people who'd fallen. And so Paul Kane's standing on the stage, and Paul Kane released a word 30 to 40 years ago about stadium Christianity. And to be able to have a group of fathers, Mike Bickle stood behind him, Bill Johnson stood behind him, his spiritual son, Sean Bowles, stood behind him, who Sean now operates, his word of knowledge was actually Paul Kane's mantle. And he's standing on a stage, and they said, he wasn't a perfect man, but God used him. And they just released this wave of reconciliation of three generations of spiritual fathers. Because Sean is our generation. Mike Bickle and Bill Johnson are the generation above him. Paul Kane's a spiritual grandpa, I guess, at this point. And to be able to say, we can honor what God's done in somebody, regardless of how perfect they were or lack of perfection. And I felt like this bridge being rebuilt in the spiritual realm between the generations. And so I'm bringing home, as the younger generation, the ability to honor what the older generations carried and say, we know you didn't do it perfect, but we're going to love you and we're going to build a bridge so that we get what God gave you, not because of what you didn't do right, but because of what he did in you. So that's what I'm bringing home.
This thing has a tendency to make me a little nervous, so bear with me. There was two things that I brought home. One was the unity. There were 60,000 people there, and you know, coming and going. So I don't know if how accurate those numbers are. I'm assuming there was more, but just the unity that was there, and just looking around the stadium, there was people everywhere, and it wasn't just the Assemblies of God churches. It was all of us. It was the Baptists, the you name it. They were all there. And just what I'm blanking. Who's the main guy there?
Lou.
Just what Lou brought was incredible. He brought every nationality that
was in America, he brought on stage, and there was forgiveness and repentance in every one of them, which was really amazing. And it just, I've felt for a long time that the next move of God is going to be through uniting the body.
Yes.
That it's not just going to be this one person, but there's forerunners that have went before all of us, but now it's time for the whole body to get together and run together. So, yeah. And then Sean Bowles just absolutely rocked me. Just the fact that he's able to get names and street addresses, and he's even got social security numbers and bank account numbers, just crazy stuff, just really rocked me. And I'm like, God, I want part of that. I want that relationship, that personal relationship with God. And so when we were in, last Sunday, we were in this the church that we had was across the street of where we had stayed, and I got three names. And afterwards, I went and asked the pastor these three names if they were real people. And it ended up they were, and I just got to pray into their lives and prophesy. And this one guy that his name was Jeff, he had a bad arm, and the word I got for him was strong arm. And so I just got to pray for one of his friends, and his friend said he's going to go pray for him. So with that said, I'm gonna kind of take a risk here. And a name I got this morning was Elijah, but you often call him Eli. And I feel like there's someone, is a kid between, what I got was between the ages of 7 and 8. It's either the grandparents or somebody's child, or you may know this person that is needing healing in their body. Is anyone here like that? No, the boy needs healing. Yeah, I felt like Eli needs healing. So, wherever he's at, I was praying for him. Wherever he's at, let's pray for him. God, I release the healing angels into his room, into his environment, wherever he's at. God, I ask that you would encounter his physical body right now, and that you would heal him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Right now, Jesus. Right now. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, God.
I had a little bit of passion in me before I left. I can't even begin to touch on everything that happened to me personally and otherwise. In fact, when Cameron mentioned this, I thought, I got too much to say, so I'm not going to say anything. But one thing that did stand out while I was there was, I don't even know for sure who was praying, but I got this word to, I have a nephew who's in his 40s now that is totally addicted to meth, and has just, this kid had a, on his way for a scholarship for Notre Dame in football, natural born athlete, good looking guy, kind of looked like Cameron a little bit. And you know, this stuff just ruined his life, and he's completely out of it. His kids are out of it. And my sister has practiced tough love and kind of just disowned him. We don't even know where he is. And the Lord told me to call my sister and tell her to pray for OJ right now. And what's really funny about it is that my two sisters that aren't saved were with her, and they joined hands and they prayed like Christians pray. My sister got saved before I left New Mexico. And the three of them were standing there praying for my nephew, and I felt like the Lord, I told her, the Lord is releasing something over the nation right now regarding addiction He hates what the enemy has done with drugs. It might have started out as fun stuff when we were young, but the enemy has destroyed lives, and my passion grew. It's why I do the ministry that I do. My heart breaks for this. And I wanted to start this prayer and worship thing, which Cameron said I could. And we need to pray. The Lord just said pray. He is doing something. He can do it. He can change everything in this region. He can get rid of addiction, period, over the next generation. And we are to pray. Aaron said something about, I used to always say, we're the church on the hill that everyone's watching, and God wants to use this church to set precedent in this region about prayer and how to change everything that He wants to change. Man, I got so fired up that we're going to do this thing, and if you are interested in worship and prayer, thanking the Lord and transforming this region, you got to come. It's going to be powerful. He's going to release healing. We're going to have healing time. And I'll just keep praying for my nephew. His name is OJ. It's time. The Lord called him a long time ago, and he's got testimony to share, as we all do. And that's it. There's a lot more, but I'll stop.
Awesome. So, I guess if I could sum up what I'm bringing back to you guys, it is an encounter. So, I've been like praying for an encounter for my family since Yuna was in my belly, my oldest. And praying for an encounter for Kevin since we were friends and I had a crush on him. And he's encountered God for sure. You know, an encounter with God's power and His Spirit where you can't do anything. You can't run. You can't hide. There's nothing inside of you that God can't see. He's encountering your very being. That kind of encounter where you know that you know that you know that you know that God is real. I had an encounter like that when I was 7. My neighbors invited me to their church, and they get points with some program that they were doing, inviting like little kids to come, and they win prizes and things. Well, whoever was in charge of that kids program was sick that day. So we all went to the big people's church. It was a Wednesday night. We all went into the big sanctuary. And I have no idea what the guy who was preaching was saying. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. But God was encountering my heart, and I just began bawling my eyes out. Yeah. And at that church, we had wooden pews. And so I just remember like going to the front and like a huge puddle of tears on the pew. And my sister's looking at me like, are you okay? And I go home, and the only thing that I can utter is, I just want to go home. I'm homesick. That's all I could say. I wanted to be with my daddy God. I wanted God. Like, I just wanted Him. And so through the years, I forget, you know, the enemy's so sneaky, and being raised in the way I was raised, really bad way, you forget. You know, life happens. It's tough. You forget that God is real. And then a little later on in my life, I experienced Him in a very powerful way. I couldn't deny it, and I've been ruined ever since. I've encountered Him many, many times, but sometimes life gets stale, doesn't it? So I've been praying through this journey that most of you guys know that I've been on with my husband, you know, having cancer and it being really serious. I've just been praying, God, this is my heart's cry, that He would encounter You in such a powerful way and that my kids would. And so when I saw the video, the Azusa Now video, I was like, Kevin, let's watch this video together. Both of our hearts just began to stir up. And I was like, do I take all my kids? Because, like, I feel like I just have this, like, extreme expectation. I want to say something. Expectation is so powerful. Yeah. Whatever it is that you are expecting, that's faith. That is what you're putting your faith in. So if you're expecting that you're going to die and the world around you is going to fall apart, that might happen. But if you're expecting for life to happen abundantly and you're expecting an encounter, I'm telling you that's going to happen. I know, because I've been in situations where I've been in some pretty tough situations, and I'm like, I better check my expectation right now. What am I expecting to happen? Am I feeding myself with fear and lies? I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not. Yes, fear and lies, they're in your face, but it's all fake, really. You know, God's an encounter with God is what I have to offer you today. Let me tell you what happened to me on Saturday. So I've been praying, you know, prayer is so powerful. It is so powerful. I would not be here today, standing the way I am right now in my faith, without the prayers of the saints stored up for me. I know it's true. On Saturday, you know, like we're all there, like around 6:30 or something, we're standing in line, you know, you could feel this, like, this anticipation, you know, it's like buzzing. And you get inside and you're like, you got all these things, you know, you could think, yeah, whatever, it's a bunch of hype. You know, you could think that if you want to, sure. Yeah. I'm sure every single person in that stadium had that thought. But it's like, what are you going to choose to do with it? Do you know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, some of it probably is hype, but it's what you get to choose what you want in life, right? So I'm standing there, and I'm like, yeah, no, I know. I'm like, whatever, those stupid thoughts. They're not you, God, and I know what I came here for. My family is going to encounter you. So I'm standing there just worshiping, just like, we just got there. And suddenly I feel like there's an earthquake happening. Suddenly my leg just starts to shake. And I cannot control it. And then it goes up into my knees. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? And then it just goes up into my gut. And I'm like, God, what are you doing to me? I was like, are you going to make me look like a complete idiot right now? I don't want this. I wanted this for my family. So I'm just praying. And I'm like, we brought our two older daughters. I just felt like God was going to encounter them, you know? And I felt like God was like, it's you that I want, Maggie. All of your prayers that you've been praying for your family, I am giving you double fold. Yeah. And that's what I have to offer you today. Counter.
Yeah. So I guess I have a testimony to share, because I'm not sure if it was Chris Vallotton or Bill Johnson or whoever, but I was sitting in my seat, and he said, like, there are 27 people in this room right now, and you have severe depression, and you cut yourself, and you have a really bad low self-esteem, and and you have really bad suicidal thoughts, and that was me. And like, everyone just kind of started praying for me, and I couldn't stop crying, and I still can't stop crying. And and I don't want to jump off a bridge as badly anymore. So.
Our God is so, so merciful God, and so good God, and so His grace is overflowing on us every single day. But even though you see every single day, but still your flesh is one, you know, sometimes. When, Father, I know you give me an answer all the times, confirming, but I still don't know when it's going to be, you know. But this trip, all I asking the Father and say, Father, this trip I want to see. Let us, because Sarah, she wants to go. I really don't want to go because I got to go to Korea tonight. So I don't have time for much, but I did. But anyway, then day before, I mean, before night, she had emergency in the ER. We went there because so sudden she can't even get up and sit, you know. But she still want to go. So I said, Father, you ask them. And anyway, we were there. I tell Father, this time I want to let Sarah taste of your goodness. Yes. Let her taste of how good you are, all the loving God you are. That's all I'm asking. I didn't ask him here or anything, but I guess that all cures everything. Yeah, cured here, and that's awesome. All I can say is so merciful God and so loving God, and His grace is always pouring on us, overflowing, either you know or not.
Right. That's all.
So, I'm from the school. My name is Isaac, for those of you that don't know. This is my third year at BSSM. And so at BSSM, they teach us hunger for revival, hunger after God, like kingdom established. And that's like what they go for. And like, that's what they teach. And I'm like, I feel like I'm passionate and fiery for it. And I'm like, yeah, I pray this stuff. And I was like, yeah, God, I want more. I want your kingdom. I want your fire. I want your passion. And yet my actions didn't reflect it. My actions showed that my heart was complacent in that, like, I was fine with the status quo. I was fine with going and doing my intern duties at the school and, like, praying for a revival. And that revival was for someday, maybe not today, but, like, I was fine praying for it. That's not what I talked like. Like, I talked like I wanted it, but my actions didn't show it. Then this trip hit, and I've known this trip was going to be big. The school was there for, like, a week before the event. But like I knew it was going to be big before this, and I realized that I had put my hope in this event and not in God, and that I was like, God's going to pour out on this event rather than God's going to pour out on my life. And at this event, like, so much happened. So like, God just showed up in so many ways. Oh, you've heard all these testimonies that, and the week before that, it is like, it's countless. Like, I couldn't begin. We would be here for hours if we recounted like all the stuff that happened during that week. And the thing that hit me most was when I came back. I was like, oh my gosh, it's over. God, I don't want it to be over. Like, and it hit me. I was like, why are you putting your trust in an event? This is what I called you to live like. And so if anything I could impart, it would be a life of the miraculous, a life lived for the kingdom, because that is what we are born for. That is what we actually are living for. And like, I had prayed for years. Like I've said, this is my third year. I've prayed for miracles. And even before that, my family, they raised me to believe that miracles were possible, but I had never seen it. I had met oodles of people that had seen the stuff, but I had never once seen a healing, like, beyond like a headache on my own. Like, I've never prayed for someone and seen them healed. I've had people 10 feet away from me be like, oh my gosh, this just happened. And I was like, what? That doesn't happen to me. And I realized that I was wanting it because I wanted to see something cool, not because it was for Jesus. Like, I realized on this trip, it's all about Jesus. When you're doing this to glorify the name of Jesus, that's when His power shows up, because that's the reason that it's there, is to glorify His name and to glorify His kingdom, to show His glory, to show His power. And so when we were out on the streets, like all 2,500 of us students evangelizing every single day, that's when we saw like 7 salvations in a day and like blind eyes open, people getting out of wheelchairs and stuff like that. And I just realized, like, I can't go back to normal anymore. I can't just live a life of interning and praying for revival like it's not going to happen. Like, I need this to be my life. I need it to be. So yeah, that's what I have to give.
All right, so there's two things that I got from this trip. Was 2 different times. Was boldness. I got boldness and actually believing in the power of Jesus for healing. I heard of it. I've seen people. It was like you pray for one person, they don't get healed, but then you pray for somebody else, they do. So it was like I wasn't sure if it was actually. So I was still on the like between on the fence about it. And then so there was this one instance in we were doing a outreach at the train station. And this one girl in our group went out to talk to this guy, and she went up to him and started talking to this guy and started preaching the gospel. And then she was like, "Hey, do you want to accept Jesus?" And he was like, "Oh no, not right now." And then we were like, "Okay, this happened before, so we were like, all right, let's just ask if he needs any prayer for anything." So after we prayed for him and we turned around, as soon as we turned around, like God put something in me, was like, no, this guy has to come into Christ. He has to accept Jesus into his heart. And it's just like, for the first time that I've ever felt, like something just came over me. I turned around and I was just like, hey, where do you think you're going to go if you died right now? And then he was just like, oh, I'm going to go to heaven. And I was like, why do you think that? It's like, oh, because I'm a good person and I'm independent. And I was like, hey, you know, good people put Jesus on the cross. Good people went to church. And that same people, they thought that they were going to go to heaven, but they didn't. Because the only way into heaven is to accept Jesus into your heart. And then I just told him that. So I started preaching the gospel and giving him my testimony. And then I asked him the same question again. Where are you going to go to heaven? Where are you going to go if you die? And he was like, oh, I'm not sure. I was like, if you want to go to heaven, accept Jesus into your heart. And then he was like, yeah. So for the first time in my life, I've stepped out in boldness. Even when somebody said, no, I wouldn't encourage it. But if God puts it on your heart, like, follow what God says. Because out of that one thing, one person came into Christ. And everybody knows, when one person comes into Christ, all of heaven rejoices. And so that was with boldness. Like, that's what I want to impart to you guys. It's just boldness. It's just step out. And even if it's hard, like, being a Christian is hard. And evangelizing is hard. But you just got to be bold and just keep going at it. And you'll start seeing the fruit come out. And when I was at Azusa, I was sitting with my girlfriend at where we were sitting at, and she started telling me about a dream she had a few nights ago. And she said she had a dream about somebody with a purple scarf whose name was Sarah, and whose son was autistic, and his son's name was David. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. And as soon as she's done talking, like I saw this guy coming up limping. And before that, I saw about 7 people get healed off of just knee injuries. So I ran up to this guy. I was like, hey, I'm coming after you. So I ran after this guy. I was like, hey, can I pray for you? He's like, oh, can you come with me? I'm going in line to get food. I was like, all right. So I started walking halfway around the Coliseum, and then I'm waiting in line. So I started praying for him. And then his leg pops out. It grows out. He was out about 2 inches. It grows out, and then he's got full mobility. All pain leaves. And then all of a sudden, this guy taps my shoulder. He's like, hey, can you pray for me? He was a minister, but he couldn't speak much English. He's Hispanic. So I was like, okay. So one of the ladies beside him started interpreting. So I was like, hey, what's wrong? He's like, his liver. There's something wrong with his liver. It was too small and it's painful. So I started praying for him, and he just gets hit with the Holy Spirit, and then he starts weeping, and he said, all the pain's gone. So I was just like, oh, come on. So as soon as they were about to walk away, I was like, hey, God highlighted the lady who was interpreting for me. I was like, hey, what's your name? She's like, oh, my name's Sarah. I was like, hey, is your son autistic? And she's like, what? Like, yeah, he is. And I was like, what's your son's name? He says, oh, my son's David. So throughout that whole thing, it was just like, it came through my girlfriend, a dream that she had a few nights ago, and this lady had a purple scarf, so I didn't even really notice. And so out of what my girlfriend saw, and then like just being obedient and being bold and just to pray for healing, and I just started praying for her. She starts weeping. Then God tells me, hey, why don't you ask about her husband? So I say, hey, what's going on with your husband? And she's like, oh, my husband's ill physically, and I started praying for the husband. And then not knowing, after the next day, I started telling my girlfriend about what happened. She was like, oh, that's weird that you asked about the husband, because in the dream, I asked about the husband, and she told me the exact same thing. So all that happens, and just what I got out from the healing part was just believing. Like, now I know for 100%, like, I know 100% that any person that I pray for, because God's with me and God lives inside of me, like, every person that I pray for is going to get healed. Because you have to believe. Once you believe, it actually happens.
So I think what I'm going to bring back from this trip and like just everywhere I go in general from now on is just the ability to create family and build home. Like, I feel like there's a unity in family that's, like, really unbreakable. And, like, I love what Lou was going after, like, the first half of the day, just complete unity throughout the body. And so, yeah, I think that's, like, I've always had a passion for creating family and, like, building home wherever I go. And so I think it's just been stirred up even more. So I'd like to impart that to you guys today.
Yeah, that's awesome. The first thing I want to release to you here in this church, in this town, but also into all the towns in Trinity County, is that grace to release life and hope, particularly to people that have lost their purpose, who've lost their vision, that are addicted to substances, and who have struggled with suicidal thoughts. And I feel, I want to, it's Sarah, is that right? Yeah, Sarah, I just feel to encourage you, sweetheart, that there's an invitation from Jesus as you share your testimony. I want to release just unprecedented hope and life to you. And I feel that, whoa, you are going to see so many people in your generation set on fire with incredible passion for Jesus, knowing that they are so loved, that Jesus sees them in their individual situation, and that they are able to not only have burn in their own hearts for Jesus, but they're going to be so full of love that all thoughts of suicide, cutting, any temptation like that is just going to like become nothing. And you're also going to see people freed from addictions. Yeah. So, but I feel that for you as a body at large. So I just want to release that grace to you. And I also want to release that grace that's been already come up, is the whole thing about unity, that as one church in this town, as one church in this county, that there's going to be a grace to cross all the barriers, all the things that separate you, even the miles and the kind of the things that can happen in mountain communities, that those bridges, sorry, not the bridges, but the barriers would come down, and there'd be such a grace to love and serve one another, just like the Catholic who was an Italian who came as a rep from the Pope from Italy, and actually went and kissed Lou's feet as a sign. He said he would have washed his feet if he could, but there wasn't an opportunity, so he kissed his feet and repented on behalf of Catholics for their attitude towards Protestants. And then Lou got down on his knees and he kissed his feet and he repented and he loved, and it was one of the most incredible acts of reconciliation. So I want to just say that whatever the differences are theologically, in every area between the different churches in this county, that you're going to stand as one united bride and body.
Thank you. I had the privilege of actually going over to the Bethel Family Section to serve in my little time of serving there, and I met I didn't realise it was Steve until I clocked eyes on him, and Steve Backlund was just sat there with an intern in the family section, and my immediate thoughts were, why are you here? I mean, we're one of the, you know, one of the leaders at Bethel. You should be like, you know, way down with Bill and Chris or whoever else, but a bit further up. And God really spoke to me about humility and about family and about unity. And Steve was just so at ease being there. And it just really, actually, was the most impactful thing for me, believe it or not. All the miracles going on, but it's actually the humility of Steve being there, just being completely at peace. And the family section was just so a beautiful place to be. So I just feel that as an accentuation of family and the desire, I got more personal desire for more humility in my own life. I know it's possibly not the most, you know, popular thing to pray for, but actually, you know, I really do feel a sense of actually an increased humility, a desire for humility in my own life, a desire for family, for an accentuation of family. And you guys do family so well. So I believe what the Lord's going to impart for me is an accentuation of family, of community. And we came here for family today, and we're going to impart, I believe, an accentuation of family. That's what I've got to bring.
Yay. You know, the Lord started speaking to me right when we got to the Coliseum. And I took it, you know, personally to me. And as I walked in what he was speaking to me, I realized that that was what he gave me to impart to you. And it's more of his grace. And I want to start off with just saying how appreciative I am and he is for those of you that kept the home fires burning while we went, is that your role in the body is so significant that there's no contradiction in your own thinking about should I go, should I stay, but that your value is established in your circumstances and in your obedience, and how much God appreciates you and how much I appreciate you. It's necessary that the home fires stay burning. So thank you very much for that. This was a genuinely historic event. You know, we'll be talking about it for generations. You know, there was a lot building up to it. But as we drove to the event, there was an off-ramp that traffic was backed up for maybe 2 miles trying to get down into the area where the Coliseum was. And thank God for my oldest son. He just went around it and decided to go off on another exit, bless his heart. And when we did that, we got down into the Coliseum area, and we realized that, oh, there's some parking free in that area. And we went by the parking lot, and we saw this gate off to gate number 11. We saw this gate where there was hardly any line, and yet there were lines all around the Coliseum. And so that parking lot we saw wasn't accepting parking for the Coliseum. It was for a soccer game. And so we drove a little further, and just across the street there was a lot where we could pay a little bit more and park. So we just kind of zipped in, drove in, and parked. And then we walked to get in line, and this gate 11 had about 4 or 5 people ahead of us. And we just walked right in. And at that moment, I was telling the people I was with, this is God's grace. This is God's grace. And I take that personally, you know, because I know how much God loves me. And his grace is on me. But that whole day, you know, there was so much grace. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about, I've kidded about this in the past, that God's doing what he said he would do in this hour. He's bringing his kingdom to earth through us. And that's the funny part. You know, he's using us to do this. And in me, I can't figure that out. But through his grace, his grace is sufficient for us. It's sufficient for us to co-labor with him to accomplish everything that he said he was going to do. His grace is sufficient. And I just implore you, receive his grace. Whatever your circumstance, whatever reason you didn't go or reasons that you stayed, receive grace on that to accomplish God's purposes in the earth today. His grace is sufficient for us.
I don't know why it's so hard to come up with one thing. It's probably because it was so huge. But everything everyone said, I experienced there, so that gives you an idea of why it's hard to come up with one thing. But I'm going to just tell a story. I've heard the theme of addictions, and I know that's a huge struggle for many people. I have recovered from numerous addictions in my life, so I'm on the other side of it, which is like I get to walk in the freedom from addiction, which is amazing, amazing. And being free from addictions, one of the great gifts in that is being intimate in with God and with family. And I also heard that theme. So just, I had a dream the other night, and this has happened to me a lot. I don't struggle with addiction anymore, but I have dreams about it. I dream that I'm seeking after, like it was red wine in my dream. I'm seeking after red wine. I got enough money. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. The whole dream is about trying to find the wine so I can get drunk, which I don't really like having those dreams. So I went to the Lord with it the next day, and I was just asking him about it. I never want to go back there, God, ever, ever, ever. Never want to go back to that place. And he just said, worship me. It's very simple. When we're addicted, we're worshiping something else. There's something else we're trying to give ourselves to meet the need that God's supposed to meet. That's all it is. It's very simple. It's a distraction of the enemy. He gives a substitute. Hey, this thing will give you what you really need, what you're hungry for. But it's not, there's nothing in the whole wide world, not one thing that can give you what God can give you. So, worshiping God, when those thoughts come, those dreams or whatever, just put your focus on the Lord and worship Him. And He is the only one, again, who can give you that whatever. He created us to need Him that way. He created us to hunger for Him. And He's the only one that can fulfill us in that way. And it doesn't give you horrible side effects and all those other things. In fact, only blessing after blessing after blessing. So I will impart that. Where's Dixon?
He's coming. He's coming. Oh.
My wife and I initially, well, we went down there for two purposes. We wanted to see our youngest daughter. She was one of those that when she was an infant, when we were in the theater years ago, she was dedicated by Bill Johnson and Bob Johnson. And as she matured up, graduated from high school, started life as a young woman, the world pulled her away. And we thought as things progressed more and more that we had lost her. And we tried everything that we could think of, enjoying people in the body here and praying with us and getting her name in the prayer chain. And it seemed like we weren't really getting anywhere at all. And as it got to that point where we were thinking, well, geez, you know, are we going to lose her? We can't do anything more. One thing that came back in my mind, a presence, and it's what I saw in a lot of the young people that I saw down there that weekend. And I'm sure there are a lot of parents that went through what we were going through with young people that were out there. But when we had dedicated her, she was given over to God. And I really appreciated that was a practice that Bill had started. Whenever we had parents that had new young children, they were dedicated to God. They'd come up forward, and we'd have a little ceremony. And I just think that there was a lot to that. And I was looking out there. I had an opportunity to interact with several young ladies. Either have them pray for me or I prayed with them over issues that they were having. I looked at the people down in the center of the arena, down the football field, and I was just seeing all these young people down there, and I was just wondering how many of those young people, had parents who went through the same thing that we're going through. And it's one thing that we have to remember is that, you know, whether as parents you've had that opportunity to be able to have your children prayed over by your pastor, or if you prayed over them and, you know, you personally as a family and committed them to the Lord, it's one thing that we have to remember. I think I remember Cameron speaking about hope recently, and it was the focus of one of his messages. And that necessity of hope, and how important that is. I got to see it expressed through my daughter. In one way, it was very small when we went down. We spent a little bit of time with her. But before going down there on the way, well, I should say on the way down there, I stopped and I said, well, it's going to be raining. She says, I know, Dad. But she says, remember, God shows up, fire, wind, and rain. So her mind is heading that direction. She's got two roommates that both of them, well, one of them, well, they both have been on different areas of staff at Bethel that she's roommate with down there where they're at. And just to see that the change that God's brought about in her, and looking at other young ladies and young men, to me that was really important. So if you've got any nieces or nephews or sons that are kind of wanting to go out and see, as the old saying Buck used to say, they kind of get tempted by the green grass on the other side of the fence. Remember, when the grass turns brown, there's the ones on inside the corral are still getting fed and still getting watered.
That's good. I want to just, I'll quickly share just what I feel like I'm bringing back. I've been thinking about it a lot. And I have to share a little bit of how it happened. So when you go in there, you got your ticket, and your ticket got you in the gate, and then there's pretty much the whole area in the stands where you could wander around and go wherever you want. There's food and whatever in your seats, and we had a section. And then when you went down to where the field is, the big grass field, which I had covered, there's probably, you know, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people down there, or I don't know how many. And you had to have a bracelet to get past that level of security and access. And then you could walk across the field, and there was another section, probably about twice as big as this room, where there was maybe 1,000, maybe 500 to 1,000 people that had like a tag that hung around your neck. It's pretty big, and it had an A on it. And so then you had to have that to get through that area of security. And then you're there. And then to get, there's an end there where you could get through, and then the actual on stage. And everybody had, and it was the one, the badge there was yellow. And then you get to go on stage, it was a white badge and had two A's on it. And so we were just hanging out. And of course, there's people there I know, you know, and we're connected with Bethel and all that. But I didn't have any of that plan or anything like that, and to go anywhere or to be anywhere. And so my father-in-law texted me and said, hey, where are you? And I said, we're over here. And we had this family text going on. And of course, he's on the stage. And I said, look for a tunnel toward Tunnel 19. It'd be over to your right. And I think it was Jamie that said, Cameron, wave so Dad could see you. And anyway, so it was kind of this funny back and forth. And he was up there. And then Jason, my brother-in-law, said, hey, where are you? Come down and meet me at this gate. And so I went around and walked through this gate. And then he gave me his kids. Their kids were with him. So he gave me Elijah's, I think, badge. And so I'm like, oh, cool, I get to get into this area. And so I sat with them, and I was going back and forth and with these guys, and then going down there and back and forth. And a couple times I felt like, man, the favor that I have is just amazing. No matter where it comes from, it's just amazing to have this kind of favor. Bill, I know you experience this. The favor that you get to have because of the people who love you. And so anyway, so we're sitting there. I was kind of going back and forth. And then we're sitting there, and Bethel took over at about 5 o'clock or something, if you were watching, or sometime around there, where Bethel kind of handed over to Bethel. And there was all those people sitting on the side of the stage. And so we're standing there, and Deborah Stevens, who we've known for years and takes such good care of us at conferences and things like that, she comes out and she's like, we don't have enough people to sit on the stage. We need you guys to come up and fill in the chairs. And so I was like, okay. And so we went up there, and so then we're sitting there, and so I'm sitting on the stage, and I'm texting Dave going, I'm sitting on the stage. I know you can't see me because you're too far away, but I'm sitting on the stage. And so we're sitting there, and on my right side, let's see, anyway, on one side, Lou's there, and Georgie and Banoff is there, and I'm like, hey, and he's, hey, and I don't think he remembers my name, but he knows my face, and he gives me a hug. And then sitting right here is the guy that we just met, Dixon and I just met, Andy, and who is the guys that YWAM, yeah, for YWAM, and he's sitting right here, hey, and people that I wouldn't have got to see and connect with if I wasn't there. And then right behind me was Paul Manwaring. It was just great to see him. So it's like all these people, and I actually didn't even, Chris was up in front, I didn't even get to see Chris. But we're there, and I'm sitting there as we're worshiping and praying, and this the favor that I get that has nothing to do with me. Like, nothing to do with me. I'm sitting there going, I didn't do anything to get here. Nothing. I didn't do anything. I married a wonderful woman who happened to be birthed to, and God took, and I started just sitting there going, okay, God, this is part of why I'm here, that you're showing me this favor, and what I do with favor. I remember Bill saying years ago that you get favor to God gives you specifically favor to love the people that He's brought to you. And so I was just thinking and just praying for you guys and praying, just, I don't know. That was my experience, at least part of it anyway. And then another experience I had, and I'll end with this, but it was just kind of amazing while they're sitting there. Bill, of course, gets up, and you guys saw Bill on TV, and he gets up. And there was a lot of passion throughout the day. Did you see Lou's daughter? If you didn't see Lou's daughter, she like knocked you out of your seat. She's just screaming and falling on her, and you're just like, that is the most passionate missionary that I've ever encountered. And so there's that. That's most of the day. It's just people going, just calling down kingdom. And Bill gets up there and he kind of walks out, and I'm sitting next to Jason, and Bill goes, and I lean over Jason. Did he just shush 60,000 people? He goes, yes, he did. That's Bill. And the whole place just goes, and everybody stops talking. I mean, I don't know everybody, but it sure felt like everybody stopped talking and go, hey, Bill's going to talk. And I was just like, man, the favor of God on his life. The favor of God on his life. And, yeah, and just like what Dave was saying, who we get to be connected to, who we get to be do life with, is just amazing and humbling, and just feeling the love of God, and even what Shelly was saying, the grace of God in our lives. So this is what we're going to give away, and what I want to do is we haven't really done this before, but we're going to change the name a little bit. We're going to call it an impartation tunnel. And if you've ever experienced a fire tunnel, if you've ever experienced a fire tunnel, it's like that. We're adding impartation to it. And so what we're going to do is, what I want you guys to do is we're going to make a tunnel across here, which is basically just two rows of people. It's not an actual tunnel. It's just two rows of people facing each other that makes a little corridor. And Dixon's going to share a little bit. He's got some on his heart about what's going to happen in here. But I want to, as just kind of the father of this house, to give you guys permission. This is a place where, almost above everything else, we value freedom. It's so important to us that we value and empower you to choose. And it's really important that you choose and feel safe and comfortable choosing whatever you want to do next. And if you want to receive, we've been talking about impartation. If you want to receive and want a gift of anything that was a testimony this morning, then I want to encourage you to just walk through this group. And they're just going to lay hands on you, and they're going to do what they can to impart it. But if you're like, oh, that's too weird, that's too awkward, and I don't want to get up there and do that, please don't do it. It's okay. There's total freedom, because actually this is one way. Another way is God just descends and sits right in your lap and says, no problem, I'll give you what you want. So, but you know that there is oftentimes something that comes through moving forward in the act. So this is a strong invitation and encouragement, but it's also like, I remember my first fire tunnel and how weird it was, and like, this is the craziest thing. People are like, wow, and it was just weird. And so it's okay to think it's weird. It's okay to be awkward. Just make a choice and make it powerfully, and then just rest in it, and rest in that choice. And so that's my invitation to you. And I'm going to hand it over to Dixon, and we're going to play some music, and Dixon's going to take us through this thing. Go for it.
All right. So I want to invite you right where you are. You can be standing, you can be sitting, but right where you are, take a moment. Check in with God. Invite Him to come at an even deeper level. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. if you're used to, if the primary way you're used to interacting with God is in ideas and in reading and in theology and in conversation, I just, what all of us, everybody who shared this morning, the common experience we had on Saturday was that we were there with a God who encounters us. We want to invite you in. We're going to start. You can kind of see there's folks starting over here on the left-hand side. I encourage everybody, you go ahead and hop in line. If you've got some music, you can start bringing it up slowly. But we want to share with you a God who encounters. I feel specifically like there are some people here, and you just, you need to remember. And maybe the memory is, you know, is something, you know, we had some people who shared way back to the 70s of, you know, the Jesus people movement and, you know, stuff that happened, and maybe that's the memory. But there are some of us here, it's like God has spoken to us. God has shared with us. God has given us stuff. Amazingness. And we need to remember. And then there are some folks here who are just like, I want what Maggie shared. I want that 7-year-old, like, God met me. I want what Sarah shared. I want that, like, everything's different and I just can't stop crying. Everything's different. Come with expectation. Go ahead and bring up the music if you would. Yeah. Come with expectation.